Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. We are waiting for our guest, permanent guest. We'll switch the broadcast to Sunday. To Saturday. Instead of the Friday broadcast. And we would invite you all to come and listen to the broadcast that we generally do on, that was Friday with Imam Yusuf Salam. We're now broadcasting on Saturdays due to a schedule change. However, we have, until Brother Salam has arrived, we have some announcements that we would like to make. I would like to announce to the audience Maybe I have the wrong number. Just a minute.
It's Selma, Alabama, right?
Yeah. No, it's still could be wrong. Excuse us, but dear people, we are waiting for our brother and friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Just be patient with us as we work to bring our guests on. Give it up, people. I'd like to announce the Muslim Annual Convention under the Mosque's Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Muslim Annual 27th Annual Muslim Convention. Theme, understanding our human value to enhance our productivity in society. September 2nd to 4th. At the Tinley Park Convention Center, Illinois. Annual Award Banquet, Business Expo, New Africa Marketplace, Interactive Community Forums, Culture, Why We Must Create Our Own, Entertainment Industry, Easy Path to Health, Wealth, Wellness, and Fitness, Civic Engagement, Engaging Our Community, Who, Why, and How. Education is the greatest tool for advancing the society. Cultural Night. The Loft, Creative Space Cafe and Performance Area, State of the Umar Address, Fashion Gala, Hodge, Planning Session, Matrimonial Event, Marriage Forever, New Africa National Business Networking, Breakfast, Children's Idol, Youth Leadership Academy, 13 to 19, Quran Competition, Dynamic Programming, Seminars and Workshops, Interfaith Collaboration, Islamic Studies, Dawah and Community Services. Salute to the believers in uniform. The program starts with Juma, starting at 1 o'clock. The Juma Khatib is Imam Alfred Muhammad, the host of Religion Means Alive. His subtitle, Creating the Best and Most Competitive Community on Earth. Imam Waris Deen Muhammad II, continuing the tradition of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad I, that is developing the best opportunities in education, the best opportunities in business, the best opportunities in culture, the best opportunities in government and civic engagement. You have witnessed in the Democratic Convention, you have witnessed the Republican Convention. Now witness the greatest convention on earth, the community of Imam Waris Deen Muhammad, the community that will in fact lead itself to great business endeavors, great educational endeavors, that will historical black colleges and universities. Build the greatest collaboration and Clara Muhammad and W.D. Muhammad high schools and elementary schools. K through 12 and beyond, where sister who has gone on to her Jeffrey Ward used to say, from the womb to the tomb, we are going to educate our people. We are going to develop business opportunities for our people, particularly for our men that want to be heads of household. We are going to develop industry. We are going to develop the highest moral standards of family life and community life. We are going to develop that right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, dear beloved people, we are excited. We are looking forward to the greatest convention on earth. Yes, don't sit back watching the TV and waiting for the white man to do for himself. You need to do for yourself and wake up to human responsibility, your responsibility as an ethnic group, your responsibility as an ethnic group that will not only bring yourself to its fullest potential, and you will understand your human potential. You will understand your life. You will understand your family responsibility. You will understand your neighborly responsibility. You will understand your statewide and regional responsibility. You will even understand the responsibility you have for the United States of America and for the Muslim Ummah of the world. Dear beloved people, it is a progression. And we are now waiting for better. So I'm waiting again for Imam Yusuf Salam to come forth. Joe, you're on the air, Joe. When you make that noise, it comes on. You just... Joe, you're on the air. I just making your name. Stop. This is a live broadcast, man.
I make you laugh because you're such a clown.
You have reached the voicemail box of
334505393.
Joe. No, I'm waiting for him to come to the phone, Jeff. Waiting, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. He should be here shortly. Any comments you hear in the background, please excuse him. My son and some others are playing near the studio, and we are happy to have you here with us. We are honored and privileged to have with us our brother and friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdusalam from the great city of Selma, Alabama, where we expect to see in the next 5 years the building of New Africa. I've been telling the audience that with 2.5 million people that is, it's Imam Muhammad said he knows followers and support him. So he took a census as he goes around the country, and he has given the people a way to pronounce the greetings. And our people, the Nation of Islam, used to say, Walaikum Salam. We were told to say, Walaikum Assalam. And as a result, Imam said he had taken a survey and he studied. There's about 2.5 million of us. And we are about the business of mobilizing. We know that Satan has, when I say Satan, I mean people, beings that look just like us, but we don't call them human beings. And the great Satan himself, the chief of them. And they are working night and day to stop us, or trying to stop us. But that's the job of the Satan, to try to stop us. They have 4, 5, 7, 8 schemes going on Imam Muhammad's community, all foretold in the scripture. But I can tell you that the group that will win is a group that is with Imam Warith Deen Muhammad. That is the group that's with the mosque cares. That's the mission that Imam Muhammad set up. And it is going to be successful. And it's going to be successful materially here on earth. We're not talking about some abstract in the sky and the sweet by and by. We're talking about actually building up schools, taking on the responsibility for academic life, just as the Christian people have done, just as Georgetown has done, just as Jerry Falwell from Lynchburg, Virginia, and others have done. We're going to accept those responsibilities. We're going to even accept the responsibility for the historical black colleges and universities, 120 of them. I can see now that we will be able to put hundreds of millions of dollars into those institutions. And very soon you'll see 2.5 million of us giving $10 a week towards the historical black colleges, which will inspire the other African Americans to help. Very soon, you'll have first-rate universities. You'll have the University of Selma, a Baptist institution there in Selma, Alabama, being a first-rate, top-notch institution, not by begging of us, not by trying to force the government, but just as the Mormons, just as the Orthodox Jews, just as the so-called evangelical Christians, sincere people that believe in God, that may understand God different than us, and are successful. And when they see us wake up, they're going to take on full competitive responsibility for the life of America, and the whole political landscape of America will change. I would start by asking our brother and friend, one of the best political analysts, Pat Buchanan, is a child compared to him. McLaughlin is a child in short pants. Cokie Roberts is a child and diapers. Donna Brazile is a child. Even the Secretary of State herself is a child compared to this great one who sat on the greatest man that ever walked the earth since Muhammad himself. I'm speaking of none other than my brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdusalam. But Imam, I want to ask you, what is your explanation for the near collapse of Mr. Trump's campaign? It seemed to be going into the tanks. It seemed, as we look at it, that he is now down in the state of Georgia, the state of Mr. Talmadge, the state of Sam Nunn, the state of Dick Russell, the state of white segregationists. He's been even shaken in Strong Thurmond State, even in Spartanburg. He's been shaken, it seemed to me, that the day of ignorance is falling, and the day that we may even see an African-American Muslim as the president of these United States, even one of them, the United States Senator. I'm going to shut up, and I've said a lot, and I'm fired up, and I can't apologize because the Spirit of God is upon me. Brother Imam, what do you say about the tanking of the president of the Trump organization's campaign?
Let me say, first of all, my brother, an apology is due for my relative tardiness. I don't like being late, but this morning I got up at 4 o'clock and rode over to my hometown and presented to the Alumni Association of both of the historic African American high schools in Columbus, Georgia. I went over and we had a great time. I came back and kind of nodded off, and next thing I know, I heard your telephone. The introduction was indeed gracious, and I certainly say, as we all say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger, Allah is greater than what? Everything that we can imagine. Now to your question. Let's slow this thing down a little bit. In politics, just as in sports, it's never over until the fat lady sings. And if you listen to President Barack Hussein Obama, he says that the people that oppose Trump, he doesn't say the Democrats, the people that oppose Trump should run scared until he's defeated. Now, let me extrapolate upon that. Given all the laws of natural American politics, Donald Trump has been defeated in the Electoral College. I said, given all the natural laws. But it's not over for him because of the magicians and the sorcerers who are trying to do everything they can to prop him up. Some of these magicians and sorcerers are in big dog money corporate America, disavowing Trump, but working behind the scenes to try to prop him up at every moment. The big media forces. I have a brother, my oldest brother, in Indianapolis. He's not even a political fellow. He called me this evening complaining about the fact that corporate media has spent all day just publicizing over and over and over and over. We know the power of repetition in prayer. We repeat things in prayer. The Creator has established the human being as a receptacle that can be influenced on the level of the subconscious mind through repetition. Trump, 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 all day long. Look at what happened at Fox. Roger Ailes leaves. That didn't pull me behind some so-called sexual harassment. You walk away with $40 million in your pocket. And what's the first thing you do? You do what you've been doing all along. You help create a mindset in a certain portion of the American demographic that's given to Trumpism. And now you see that it's time to spring. You leave Fox, and what you do? You run straight to Donald Trump and join with him on the hill. While you've been joined with him and Roger Stone, his hatchet man, you and Roger Stone been joined at the hip since Nixon. Y'all playing this way back with Nixon. And you've been dealing with Trump. I'm talking about Roger Ailes. Big time, at least since 1988. Trump been just jump up and decide to run. Let's not be naive. Let's not be ignorant with this thing. And so CNN, Jeff Zucker in private is framing Trump's quote, Fox, CNN. And then you have Jeff Zucker's, I would almost say, flunky over MSNBC. And in the form of Phil Griffin. And all he has to do is touch Joe Scarborough in the morning and Chris Matthews in the evening and make them flip. And then you got the media sorcerers all on one page. Fox News, CNN, and part of NSNBC. Some of them on NSNBC refuse to play that game. So I'm not going to make a blanket accusation against them. They are split. But CNN, Jeff Zucker, and Roger Ailes' cronies under his influence back at Fox, Sean Hannity and all of them, they're on the same page. And what's the strategy now? Don't rush it a week at a time. Chip away 2 percentage points on a lead. Chip away 2 percentage points on a lead. And within 6 weeks or so, you got a horse race. For the diabolic ones, they pushing it, the Trumpism agenda. Not Donald Trump, but Trumpism agenda. For the money-hungry ones, you got your horse race all the way to November. Your ratings are increased, and you walk into the bank with plenty of money. I hope we understand that, yes, normally this race would be over. Now, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone, business partner, caught up with Russia. This latest shakeup, they act as if it was a shakeup. No, it was not a shakeup. They knew news were coming on Paul Manafort that would prove he took big money on the table. So this was a slick way to dump him before that happened. You don't have to be a political Einstein to see this, but the media didn't analyze it like that. They analyzed it as if Trump was just rebooting again and bringing in a new team. No, that was not the problem. Secondly, they allowed him in 2 or 3 speeches to try to play African American like a drum. The man knew he is not going to get any African American votes worth talking about, but the independent whites have moved away from him. And so now he got to try to prove on the surface that he's not a racist. So he go around making a lot of noise about black folk and helping African America, talking all that old talk. But really, that pitch is aimed at the independent white voter that has moved away from Trump, and that's what gave Senator Clinton the political edge. But at the same time, while he's making these statements, he brought on the one who he called his CEO, Steve Bratton of Breitbart. I ask anybody to go to his website. Vicious talk about Muslims, not just banning them, but rounding up all Muslims that's in America, whether you were born here or not, and putting out the country. Vicious, racist, Klan-type positions against African-Americans and Jews. This is not somebody out on the fringe. He is the CEO of Donald Trump's campaign. And this man got the unmitigated gall with this super racist, the CEO of his campaign, on the television cynically and wickedly acting like he currying the African-American vote. This thing, Brother Imam, if you're still listening, I say to your audience, It's very, very
serious. I'm still here,
brother, now. It's very, very serious. It's not just a little real estate mogul out of Queens, tumbling and bumbling. No, it's bigger than that. And I say to you and all your audience, don't go to sleep on this thing. Don't underestimate this thing. And I'm not one given to wild, paranoid statements. If that was the case, I'd be way out in some kind of black-eyed Nation of Islam type posture. You talking all that talk about my astute political analysis, I don't know about that, but I think I'm dead on the money with what I just gave our dearly beloved audience.
I think you are too, and I think we cannot go to sleep. I think we have to be vigilant. Imam Muhammad said an old touring car could hardly make it uphill. So there is possibilities. And I'm going to tell you something. I know you all could disagree, and we're free to disagree. Most of it is about stopping the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad. They don't care about the rest. Because Imam Muhammad's community is the most important pivotal force on the globe. I repeat, if the Muslim African Americans who follow Imam Muhammad ever become awake and build, African America is going to fall like a house of cards behind them. And then America, once it sees that we have changed our own neighborhood, they are going to collapse like pancakes on top of blueberries. A blueberry will be spreaded on them, and they will fall behind us. And America will fall because America will say, if you can change those people, that's how they refer to us, then, in fact, God Almighty himself is with you, and therefore we are declaring ourselves in support. I believe this with all my heart. So Mr. Trump and even the other tricksters on the left and on the middle and both parties are working feverishly to prevent us from claiming our inheritance. That's the battle. And certainly,
well, let me just explore that a little bit, brother, ma'am, and let me give you two examples to verify that. Actually, there's no need for this most powerful military in the world to be all up in the air about a few asymmetric warfare forces coming out of the Middle East. If we take the thing at its face value and literally these few terrorists, as President Obama, he's on top of things. So they are no existential threat to America. They're not. No government on this planet, even Russia, is an existential threat to America. God has given them a supreme military advantage. Why is it that they trying to keep some going with a clash of civilization? And it goes all the way back to Richard Nixon. He's the one who thought of that against Muslims. They knew, they saw the Nation of Islam back then. I read you from COINTELPRO back in 1968, 1969, what they said about Imam Muhammad, even back then when they were studying the situation. They doing all this with so-called Muslims. Think about it. The Muslim world is in the dark. The Muslim world is not a threat to anybody. They're behind India. They're behind China. They're behind some European nations, other Asian nations. The Muslim world is not a threat, even though it's 1.6 billion. What's the threat? So they will have all this theme, adversarial tone to Muslims. Why? Because if you go at Muslims, that's the only crack you'll get at the community of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. That's the only way. You got to have a situation where you constantly got an atmosphere where if something go down, the good have to suffer with the bad. Number one. Number two, we have to study. I just read a deep article today where 80% of the evangelicals are going to go Donald Trump. It's not, and they say, well, the reason why they're doing it is the Supreme Court. That's not the reason. One of the main ones behind this thing is a guy named Richard Land. And if we reflect upon this old Richard thing, all the way back to Richard the Lionheart, some of these Christian clergy, they just got an obsessive, compulsive desire to crusade against Islam. And they feel that if Islam in its intelligence sense is facilitated in this country, and people start taking a look at Quran, they feel this little thing about what the Quran say about Jesus, messing up their little money, messing up their little empire. So they want to fight a crusade. So a good percentage of the white evangelicals, they're showing their hand. They never cared about no same-sex marriage, no abortion, none of these social wage issues. All of that was a front from the majority, moral majority owned in the late 70s to keep our own and try to hamstring what Imam Muhammad brought. This is a fact. These people are not good. And look, I told you before, I'm not in the bashing Minister Farrakhan. But study what he have gone all over this country. They don't try to stop him. They don't see that as a threat. But this thing that Imam Muhammad brought, as you said, if our people open up our ears and listen, the day of crucified white male dominance on the cross is over. Trumpism represents a movement among white males to take their waning power back. It can never happen with an America that's educated by the refined universal message of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Yes, it's a threat, and yes, there's powerful forces that are planning and scheming, but they plan and God plan, Brother Imam.
Yes, and I'm going to give it.
Almighty God is the best of planners.
I'm going to have to give it to you this time in Arabic because the Arabic word is so much powerful than the planning. God says they plot. Well, makaru, well, makarullah. Allahu khairan makaru. In other words, they plot and God plots, and God is the best to plot. Let me tell you something. They made a plot when they brought us here. I ain't talking about the ignorant Caucasian slave masters. There was a schemer, Satan himself, that was behind the scheme, Imam Muhammad said. Then they put schemed and Reconstruction. They were hiding in the abolitionist movement, they the Satan's people. And then they schemed in the civil rights movement. They schemed to give us street poison. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on the cultural time. And after they schemed, they even schemed to give us the Nation of Islam. That didn't work. And God brought Imam Waris Deen Muhammad. That's the greatest threat to the whole world of Satan. The greatest threat to Muhammad himself. And this time it's going to be finalized and they're going to be finished. You're right, 1960s. J. Edgar Hoover and Nixon was plotting. Mr. Ford sent the President Ford sent a representative to Imam Muhammad February the 27th, 1975. They thought they were going to wrap us up. This young, what they thought was a boy leader. They got scared when he grew, and they said, okay, well, let's take the money away from him. And he's still growing. We're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. I'm telling you.
So now, Brother Imam, let us let the audience know, because I know you and I know the Imam. Look, we got to face the fact maturely that there's always been a segment of the American body politics who do not believe in democratic principles and in the principles that all men are created equal, an Adamic Quranic concept. If you go back to the American Revolution, there were forces in this country that fought on the side of the monarchs. Okay? During the Civil War, that's obvious. Throughout the history of the South, many did not believe in democracy. How could they? The way they treated us during slavery. Even during the 60s, you could see this same element. And if we study the Olympics, we can see a very powerful sign. We are not against America. We believe that God has a future for America. And when we identify these forces, we are not talking about homogenized Caucasian group, all white folks, on an all white folk devil thing. You know, we way beyond that. But there are forces. And let me give an example based upon a sign from the Olympics. These swimmers, you have Michael Phelps, one guy that was guilty of sin, like the general situation for the Caucasian male throughout history. But he repented of his wrongdoing, and he's an ideal example of manhood for anybody in this country. But that's the minority. Then you have these five that made up a lie that they had been robbed, projecting the idea that the dark-skinned Brazilians are nothing but criminals, and we did this and that, and people will believe the lie that they robbed us. Everything Trump says primarily is a lie. This majority group that want to maintain dominance, I'm talking about these Caucasian males, they don't know anything about the truth anymore. Everything is a spin. Everything is a lie. We saw it on the low level of sports, and we see it with Donald Trump. That's the majority now of Caucasian males. But this country made up of women, of minority ethnic groups that make up a large demographic, and they are good Adamic Caucasian men in this country that don't want any part of that foolishness anymore. So when we look at this thing, we don't want to project some kind of blanket systemic condemnation. We want to identify with laser focus the culprits that's involved. When they say take this country back, they mean bring back Caucasian, on the cross, white supremacy, dominance over this country and over the world again. Look what Donald Trump said. He said, we need to whoop them and go over there and take their oil. Man, that's 17th, 18th, 19th century imperialism. The Caucasian people don't have that kind of juice no more. They can't go around the world with the military might they got right now and just kick everybody butt like they stole something. They better wake up. That day is over. And if they even try that, they will solicit and elicit divine intervention, divine wrath, divine punishment, and divine chastisement. There's no power they have in their arsenal that can defeat the creator of this universe in his heavenly hosts. And I say, if we got any good faith Caucasian listening, you better fight this thing. And you better stand against him messing with innocent believers in God. The Creator will not allow even the innocent Americans to go along with a situation where his servants, sincere servants, who bumping their heads on the floor, who fasting, who making hajj, being sincere to their Lord, to be persecuted and treated like animals. So now, you're good in your nature, but you better step up for the benefit of this country. Because it will be destroyed if they try to mess with these 2.5 million Muslims that the imam was talking about. We're not trying to scare anybody. I know that those sickos fooling with Trump, they have no fear of God. This kind of language is to the American that has some remaining fear of God. You need to rally together and turn this thing back, because it'll never be successful. It'll never pan out. And God will intervene and raise up a new people on this geography that's more respectful of the divine way. Brother Imam, I didn't mean to go that way.
No,
it just came out, but you still there.
I'm going the other way. I'm going to tell you more. Imam Muhammad said, at a Ramadan session, something just telling me to say this, but I'm going to do it tonight. So I'm the Ramadan session is private, but I'm going to bring this out because it's really divine. Somebody asked him, so what about the Muslims? Caucasians have become Muslims. Imam Muhammad said, very good. He said, they should be able to come in here and bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And they should bear witness that the African American is the chosen of God. He said that should be easy for them. They have already chosen Jews as God, as the chosen of God. What I'm saying is very clear. It's not race-based up. It's qualification-based. I'm no more qualified to go in any court of law than a snake is to crawl into the White House. I am not admitted to any bar. And I'm saying, by the same token, no Caucasian, male or female, is qualified to lead America. They're finished. The only qualified people is the ex-slaves and the followers of Imam Worthy Muhammad. I'm saying that. Anybody else is a substitute. And until we accept that we are qualified, this is not race, this is qualification. 400 years of being put in a monster chamber have qualified us. That's what Imam Muhammad said. I don't care what she be, a male, whether she be a she or a male. No Caucasian is qualified. They're finished. I love them. I respect them. But it's time for them to sit down. They've run out of vision. They can continue to sneak back to our secret people and our lodges and get information, but they're going to be defeated, period. So whatever happens in the next 4 years will be only temporary. It's now time for old Joseph to come on the throne and lead, not as a racist, not as a superiority person, but as the one who has submitted himself fully to God. And I tell people, it's very important for all of you who are sincere to come to this convention, understanding our human value to enhance our productivity. We got to understand our value as a human being, not as a black man, not Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a bunch of nonsense. But we have to understand that we are the most evolved human beings on the earth. We serve the white man. We served America. Now it's time for us to serve God. And God has given us a pattern of service to his great leader, Imam Warti Imam. I'm going to shut up and ask you to comment on that, because I'm in a preaching mode, and I didn't mean to be in a preaching mode. I don't know whether I had a good cup of coffee, and I'm fired up.
Well, Brother Imam, let me just say this. I'm going to sit back and watch the sparkle as you just Elijah-like just sent a fire up to the heavens, and I'm not going to put any water on it right now. So that's enough of that.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I just...
Yes, dear brother, I appreciate that. I thank you for your compassion towards me. You know, we have to be careful of the spirit. We've been a people
The thing about it, let me say this. There's no challenge to the substance. We know that was the position of our great leader. But it's not just him. Anytime Muhammad come back to the planet, according to the book, then everything, men and jinn, got to make sense to. So anybody come in the form of Muhammad automatically becomes a leader.
Right.
There's no leader beyond Muhammad. And it's our contention that there has not been not one human being that matched his model or approximated his model other than the late son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So that's just not the imam taking that position. That's the creator himself. That's what he said. Everything in creation have to bow before that glorious creature. So I'll just put it in that language.
I understand. I think Mr. Trump's campaign is tanking. I think we have to be vigilant. I think the good Imam Muhammad, brother reminded me, Imam Muhammad said there are angels over America. Don't worry about America falling. America's going to go through some shaking times. But I don't believe she's going to fall. I don't think Mr. Trump is going to go anywhere but in the tanks. I think
doesn't go, it's because Allah won't allow him to go. But we know, based on the example of the Quraysh, what I was saying earlier was to let us know that these forces are trying, okay?
No,
that these efforts are being made. There's a different point than whether they're going to be successful.
I would like, in future broadcasts, to play the shared freedom space. And we should stop it from time to time and comment on it. We need classes on that. I'm going to be doing an online class. I hope you'll work with me on it. Because we need to study, ma'am. There are cautionary tales in Imam Muhammad's work. He never said that. He said these people don't want us at the table. I'm talking about the Democrats and Republicans. I'm talking about both of them. And the fourth one, they don't want us at the table. They would rather have the immigrants at the table, who is an imitation, than have us at the table. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make this very plain. And I didn't intend to go this way, but I got to go this way. Even the Olympics, they brought up this African-American fencer with a hijab, made her the big story. Because I know her father. He was an ex-follower of the Nation of Islam and went to follow the Arabs. They don't even like us. They make this hijab a big thing, but the biggest story is the first American and the first Muslim to win the gold is the granddaughter of the chief magistrate of the Nation of Islam for the East Coast, none other than Rupert Muhammad, who died on his prayer rug, working as the dean of the students at the Clara Muhammad School in Corona, Queens, and left, burned up all of his Nation of Islam material. He was the chief judge. We called him an investigator. He handled all the cases throughout the East Coast. The very judicial man, the father of Imam Askir Muhammad, who will be the speaker at the Mosque Cares Convention. Nobody's making that a big story. Why? Because it's associated with Imam Waruddin Muhammad, and he's working with Religion Means Alive, Imam Alfred Muhammad. And Imam Alfred Muhammad is a voice crying out in the wilderness. But I want the believers to know we're winning. Now, that's the big story. And Allah says in the Quran, you will soon see a sign in the heavens. And brother, this is a sign. The Olympics is big. It's global. And his daughter had won the gold medal. What do you make of that, brother, man?
I make of it along the same lines as you. But Allah's plan is big as the heavens and the earth. And his plan is big enough to accommodate both successes. And I'm not going to necessarily impute the sin of the father on the child. And even though they may have these nefarious motives, the bottom line is that her success too projects Muhammad, because the average American, African-American and Caucasian are not familiar with the internal workings and nuances of the Muslim reality in America. Allah knows that, and all they see is Islamic excellence, and as long as that's being projected, and yes, I appreciate the achievement of coming out the Imam's influence, but I don't think it's necessary to knock that other influence. I think we may exalt one a little bit higher, but I think we need to embrace both. And I'm going to embrace both. And I'm going to point it out to everybody as to what God has done with both of them.
Well, the reason I said that is because, and I'm not prepared to argue, but I am saying that the Satan will promote one. I'm not knocking this young lady or achievement. She happens to be from the state in which I reside in. I happen to be an acquaintance of her father, a friend of her uncle, and I know a lot about her views towards us. So I'm saying the one that's been blessed by God himself is the people who have accepted the perception of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. And I'm always going to favor the one who accepts that perception and not accept the general.
I am too, but you take like the cons. I know those folk not directly under the Imam, but they had a little academic excellence, and I respect that. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to abandon the fact that I know who represented the most excellent expression of the Islamic way. But if I see Allah working with forces outside of us, because he can raise up people and use them from any level, I don't care what Jacob doing, I don't care what her daddy doing, if he didn't allow a situation where she got enough skills to know how to use that fencing thing, she never would have got a medal. And she couldn't have got it without the help of Allah. And so if he helped her, I'm not going to knock his help.
No, I'm not knocking to help. I'm only contextualizing it. I now would like to move to Vice President Biden's statement of Mr. Trump not being qualified for the president. And I think others are beginning to say, and also veterans, even in some of the very important swing states that were with Mr. Trump. Now, I happen to don't share very much about this, but I do just recently got my papers from the Veterans Administration. I served in the United States Navy, even though I didn't pass the swim test when it was time to be active duty. I left at the convenience of the government, but I'm now told that I'm a veteran with all benefits, so I proudly say I served the United States government. I used to look up kind of with shame upon that. But I want to say this. I was talking to some veterans at the VA hospital, first time I ever been in there, and they were saying that with these guys, I was with Trump till he put down military. I said, what do you mean he put the military down? As a corpsman to a man, what do you mean? He said, well, if you talk about a man who's won a medal, and I said, you know, here's a guy who wasn't even in the Boy Scouts. And he said, yes. So I think Mr. Trump's numbers are tanking. I don't care what Mr. Ailes, what kind of ailment Mr. Ailes has, what jokes Mr. Stone may grind on. I think they're finished, and they're on their way to the dustbins of history. I have gotten word from some reliable sources that Mr. Trump and Mr. Ailes is now going to come back and try to start the Trump network. But I think that will be just like Trump Airlines, Trump University, and all the other things. I think Trump will go into the dustbins of history. What's your comment?
Well, let
on
me
that?
Say this, brother, ma'am. During the last, one of the last battles, and we have to always apply the great principles of our deen to every situation. They went out in this battle, they had the numbers, and they thought it was over with, because if Trump go down, it's because Allah bring him down, not because of any human stuff in this country. And so when Allah gives us the prospect of victory, we're not to lay down our sword or to get elated with the numbers. You know the verses in Quran, the disaster, what happened after that. Now, but even their wisest mind say that even if he loses, and as you say, go to the dustbin of history, this chaos that he's created in large numbers of American people, they understand that they got to come up with the wisdom to manage that. Because even if he loses and go away, these folks are still going to be here in America. And what do you do with them, with their anger and their resentment? How are they going to react if their man lose? Is it going to send them into a tailspin of vicious, aggressive, random violence out of a loss of hope? Is it going to make them revert back heavily into opioids, giving up all hope, their dreams shattered, their savior lost? So it's not just as simple as an individual losing and going somewhere. Their wisest men say that this problem going to be with us for a while, not because of him as an individual, but because the millions of Americans who bought into what he was about.
I agree. I think that element has always been with us, and I think it will continue to be with us. But I think the thing for us to do is not to allow them to deviate us from what we're doing. I'm very afraid.
No doubt about that. I agree with that. I'm just interjecting that reality. That has, even if Trump doesn't go anywhere, we shouldn't deviate from what we got to do. That's a given. I agree with you, brother.
Take this 2.5 million and mobilize the 450 million of us, and take the 50 million of us and mobilize another 100 million of us, of the American people, the Latins and others who want traditional values, make no doubt about it, that do want to see the Supreme Court have a course of action that will bring back the traditional values of the Abrahamic faith. Make no question about that. And to make the African-American community a model community of productivity. That's what's going to turn America around. when we become the people we're supposed to be, and I don't want us to get caught up in any of this stuff, the fox trap, which is to tick us into the fox trap and get us all trapped in history so we are not taking on our responsibility. I do think as a political person and as a student of politics, I'm not a politician at all. I'm a student of politics, but a damn wise one, but a man who is committed to religion, which doesn't change. I would never change from traditional values. I never quote or admire people who say love wins. No, I may support the Supreme. I will support Supreme Court rulings, but believe you me, I'm gonna work to change the people's minds. I'm gonna work to win our people to the values of the Abrahamic faith, and I'm gonna use it.
There's nothing wrong with that. That should always be our aspiration.
But I do know what. Meanwhile, on the ground at the precincts, I am convinced. And I'm a pretty damn good salesman. In fact, I'm getting paid to be a salesman now. I'm convinced that I can take a Donald Trump supporter and disarm him like you can disarm a bomb and make him one of our supporters. And I did it twice in the last few days. One thing we were training.
Well, buddy, man, let me say about that. Good luck with that. I wouldn't waste 1 second. Trying to do nothing but with Donald Trump, but send him to the house. That's all
I'm
do.
I'm talking to his people. I'm not talking to him.
Oh, okay.
I know Trump is a gamer. I know a lot more about Trump than most people do. And I didn't say I was trying to get Mr. Trump. But I am will get his supporters. That's what a good politician does, is try to win people. And an imam is even more doubly obligated to win all to the way of God.
Well, Bubba belongs to the family of Adam, and I agree. He has the same Adamic nature that we have, and just like us, he can respond to the promptings from his Lord. So, hey, that's something that gives hope and a prospect in the future. That kind of interchange, that kind of interaction. But, of course, the wise who thinking about managing this thing is not in their plan to turn Imam Africa loose and detonate these folk. But I agree, if we do what we're supposed to do, that is a possibility because they have the same nature that we have, and they just a little disoriented. And yeah. They have the same good angels in their nature as all other human beings. So I think you're right.
I'm on a fool's errand. A fool's errand when we try to turn Satan and his camp around. I'm not trying to turn Satan or his dupes. I'm trying to turn his victims around. Because I was once Satan's victim when I was following the black nationalism ideas of the Nation of Islam. And I tell you, Imam Muhammad defused me. And I know if he defused me, I can defuse others. I have the skills, the wisdom that he's given us. And therefore, I ain't worried about any of the dupes. Old Bubba and Neo Bubba and Ray Ray too will be the next in the docks to be convinced to come back with a not guilty verdict for the African-American and to say and exonerate the plan of Imam Wahdi Muhammad and say that we've been sentenced to the wellsprings of history to guide the world back to his life. That's what I believe we can do. I'm convinced of that. But I don't want nobody to think I'm going to waste no time on Mr. Trump. I know Mr. Trump is a snake oil salesman. You never can do anything with a snake oil salesman. And since I'm not buying snake oil and I'm not in the market for it, Mr. Trump can do what he best do, and that is go to hell or go to the federal penitentiary for fraud that he's committed. I thank you, Brother Imam, and I will close us out with prayer.
Ya Allah, O Allah, please bring us together where we can walk what we state, what we preach, please bring harmony between our words and our deeds. Help us to be the most excellent community, witnesses before nations. Have mercy upon this republic that had the inclination to establish Quranic science as the foundation of this government. The inherent dignity of every son and daughter of Adam. We ask your choices, blessings upon our imam here today, upon the listening audience. We pray for your forgiveness. We ask for your mercy. We long to please thee. I mean, Brother Imam, it's been a pleasure.
Peace be upon you. We're looking forward for tomorrow to hear your powerful words as we smash street poison. That's going to be tomorrow's theme, how to end the street poison. As we continue the theme from mass incineration to mass incarceration to mass resurrection, I must say to you, Brother Imam, it was the street poison that poisoned a lot of our generations, and some of the same people that was a part of the civil rights movement invited us to street poison. Now we got to get an antidote to get Ray Ray out and make Ray Ray rock mine. Thank you. Peace be on our noble and honorable listener. You can listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you, my friend.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.